appreciate everybody's presence tonight. I will do my best to present a few thoughts, and I hope that you will go away not feeling that you have totally wasted your time by being here. And I guess we never waste our time when we look into the Scripture. John, the 18th chapter, verse 37, the scene here is Jesus before Pilate in the hearing, or whatever you might call this kangaroo court that they've set up. Pilate questions Jesus, and in verse 37, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You're right in saying I'm a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this reason I come into the world, to testify to truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Verse 38, Pilate responds, "What is truth?" To Pilate, to a lot of people today, truth is abstract or relative thing. Pilate was a politician, and I think this fits their ilk as well as anyone's. If you've ever read a biography of the Apache war chief Geronimo, I've read quite a bit about him. I think there should be a monument in Washington, D.C. to Geronimo, naming him the first true American politician in modern times. Here's a quote from Geronimo: "I'm a liar when it is to my benefit to lie." I think Pilate felt the same way about truth, that it was whatever you wanted it to be, whatever you needed it to be. And if you look around at the religious world today, truth is sometimes, too many times, whatever it needs to be for that particular individual. They fail to recognize the truth. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 20, Paul speaks here, and he says that this truth is built on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the corner, as the chief cornerstone. Let me reread that so we be sure to drive a peg down there. Foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Last week I attended services at Clarendon. The brother that brought the lesson there had an interesting lesson in that he compared the seven churches in Revelation to a church that had an inspector to come by and take a look at it and see how it lined up with what it should be. I'm going to try to encourage Rick to do a lesson like that. I think he'd do an excellent job of it, having been a building inspector. I think he could parallel some things that most people wouldn't be able to parallel right there. But the chief cornerstone, I'm not a building trades guy. That's probably evident from some of the stuff I do. As to building trades, I try to go by what is known in the craft as the 40-mile-an-hour rule. Two of us will hold up whatever we're nailing up. A third person will drive by at 40 miles an hour. If it looks level, he will honk. And we proceed with the project. That is not the way we need to square up our spiritual lives. Our spiritual lives need to be square and plumb with the chief cornerstone. Like I said, I'm not a building trade guy, so this is really not my world. I do know about saddles. I know that the rigging on the left side has got to be like the rigging on the right side, or you will hurt a horse. You'll have problems. So it has to be guided off of a reference point to get it right. If you'd like to open your Bibles up to Matthew, the 16th chapter, I want to read from verse 13 following. When Jesus came to the region Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some John the Immerser, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "What do you say I am? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is divinity, that he is the Son of God, is the reference point. It's starting from that we go forward. And we can build our lives, we can build the church according to this pattern that is laid out for us in the New Testament, or we can go a different direction. And when we go the different direction from the reference point, we see how we can wreck our lives and hence the church be wrecked. I'm going to use an example that you all know people involved in situations like this, and you see the wreck of their life. That's what I'm talking about. We see a lot of people that do not get married but just move in together. And I'm not sure what we could do a whole different study about this marriage thing, because marriage without commitment is no more valid than just hanging your clothes in the same closet. So there has to be a commitment. But we see people who have veered, gone off the point, and we see the grief it causes in their lives. I don't see any young men in the audience tonight that this might, if they took my advice, would prevent a wreck, but this is a true fact. Fathers in America, in the eyes of the court system, stand on very thin ice when it comes to parental rights. And if that woman is not your wife, you don't even have thin ice. You are in a freezing lake. And all of the, I use this as an example of, okay, here's the reference point. Here's what God wants us to do. We miss this point, and what does it do to our lives? And we could, I'm not going to keep you here very long tonight, but we could, if we wanted to, stay here till midnight and talk about the various scenarios of how missing the reference point wrecks lives. Now, Luke, the 24th chapter, reads, and this is Jesus speaking, and he's talking to the two men as they're walking to the village of Emmaus. And he said to them, "How foolish and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" We have to, first of all, believe the proof that is in the Scripture. If we don't believe it, then we won't use it for a reference point. Carolyn gave, I don't know if she gave it to me or loaned it to me. I guess I should ask so I could return it in case it was that. But she put in my possession a book written by a homicide detective. And primarily his work was as a cold case investigator. J. Warner Wallace, his name, Cold Case Christianity is the name of the book. And I'm not going to give you a book review of that tonight, although sometime I'd like to. It's very, very... He was an atheist, and he became to believe, he came to be a believer by looking into the Scripture and seeing how infallible that it was. And he parallels this to investigating a murder. But one thing in the book, he was very adamant that we need to be critical and clear thinkers in order to carry this out in our lives. And he pointed out, okay, pretty much in America today, you have people who say, well, you can be a Christian, you can be a Buddhist, you can be a Hindu, you can be a Muslim, and it's all good. That's four things. He said there's only two possibilities here, and that is one of these things is true, or all four of them are false. There can't be two or three of them that are true. It's only one is true, and the rest are false, or they are all false. And he's looking at that in the eyes of somebody that's just simply a critical thinker. In Acts, the 26th chapter, verse 20, Paul recounting his career, he says, "First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds." We've kind of vaguely alluded to some of the steps of salvation here, to belief and then now to repentance. But it's not just, wow, I hate I did that. It's, I did that, but I'm sorry, but I need to do, and fill in the blanks of how many of your deeds, and are you carrying out these deeds? In the 16th chapter of Acts, again, verses 29 and following, here with the account of the jailer at Philippi, that the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now here's a question coming from a man that seconds ago was about to kill himself. He poses this to these men who he perceives has the answer to how he can be saved. He's decided not to take his life, but what does he need to do next? And they, verse 31, they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then he spoke the word of the Lord. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds, and immediately he and all his family were immersed. Now the jailer began at this point in his life building. When he received the Holy Spirit at baptism, he began building his temple for the Holy Spirit. We're doing the same thing. We're building. We are a house. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. The church is a temple for the Holy Spirit. We've got an individual thing and a collective thing that we build. Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 21-22. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We know that God departed from the Israelites when they departed from the Word, or from when they departed from God. He will depart from us if we fail to follow the direction we need to be going. This few brief thoughts I've had tonight, basically, I could have said it in one sentence. We need to focus on Christ as our reference point and live our lives according to the doctrine laid out in the New Testament. And if we, you know, we're commanded to examine ourselves, see how we're doing in that respect. And how are we doing in that respect? I can't answer that for y'all. You can't answer that for me. We each need to see how we're doing in that respect. And see how are we building on the reference point. We're going to offer the invitation now as Mike leads this song. If you have any need, come forward.